Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a special presentation of KMOX.
St. Louis is mourning the death tonight of veteran KMOX broadcaster Bob Hardy. Hardy died around 1 o'clock this afternoon of an apparent heart attack at his home in Marine, Illinois.
It was the announcement that a KMOX legend had passed, April 18, 1993. Bob Hardy celebrated his 33rd year with the station just the day before. His daughter, Sandy Hardy Chin.
I can't imagine him being any place other than KMOX, but there are not a whole lot of radio stations like KMOX. So, you know, it's like two peas in a pod. I just, Bob Hardy and KMOX were like, it would be like Bob Hyland and KMOX, you know.
He was born in Dubois, Pennsylvania, and came to the St. Louis area while serving in the Air Force. When he completed his tour of duty at Scott Air Force Base near Belleville, Bob began his commercial broadcasting career in St. Louis. In the first 3 years, he worked with some of St. Louis's best-known radio personalities, including Jack Carney, Bob Osborne, Dick Clayton, Gary Owens, to mention just a few. Of course, Bob went on to become one of the city's all-time great broadcasters after he joined KMOX in 1960.
Bob Hardy was born May of 1930 in Pennsylvania. He spent his summers in upstate New York, took flying lessons after he turned 15, joined the Air Force in 48, after basic training was assigned to Scott Air Force Base in Belleville, Illinois, as part of the Air Force's radio school. That is where he met his future wife and the love of his life, Rita.
I was actually born at Scott Air Force Base. My mom and dad met in the Air Force, and they were both stationed at Scott. Then my mom got shipped out to Norton Air Force Base in San Bernardino, California. And by the time she got shipped out and got to California, she realized she was pregnant with me. At that time in the Air Force, you couldn't be pregnant. And so she was discharged and came back to Belleville. Rest, I guess, is history because I was born at Scott's because Dad was still in the Air Force at that time.
Among other things, he pursued music, and KMOX wasn't his first stop on the St. Louis radio dial.
When he got out of the Air Force, he was at Scott at that time because we came back from the Philippines back to Scott Air Force Base. He got a part-time job at WIBV in Belleville. And when he got out of the Air Force, he went to WIL. That was when they had Action Central News. And the idea, he and Jack Carney were actually at WIL together.
That's by Vera Lynn this morning from her new album for London called If I'm Dreaming. Bob Hardy's early days in St. Louis radio in the late 1950s, before he joined KMOX, included work as a disc jockey.
And we hope you're enjoying it. We'd like to hear from you once in a while. Let us know what your preference is. Well, let's see now. We've got more music for you, up and coming. This would be the warmth and the tenderness of Mr. Nat King Cole.
That's KMOX's Charlie Brennan. Bob took the news director job with WIL in July of 1957, one of only six radio stations in St. Louis at the time.
They had Action Central News, and the idea was that Dad was supposed to read the news as fast as he possibly could. And one of the stories I do remember is Jack Carney lit the bottom of the page of the news with a match, and the idea was to see how far down into the news Dad could get to before the fire, you know, before the match burned up the news. It was just kind of a joke type thing. They had a lot of fun together. I do remember that.
KMOX producer Chris Myhill.
Well, you can't do it now. I mean, who uses paper? Everything's on a screen.
But something else in St. Louis was about to take the radio industry by storm. As described by Talkers Magazine publisher Michael Harrison and former KMOX general manager Tom Langmeyer.
Well, not only does KMOX have a tremendous heritage in all of radio history, going back almost 100 years now and being such an important radio station and such a model radio station on so many levels, but in the talk arena, especially nowadays with talk radio being so important, KMOX is one of the, if not the most important talk station historically of all the stations. It is arguably the first station to do full-time talk.
KMOX launching At Your Service was put on at a time where radio stations were really in a quandary as to what do they do, because really around 1960, but prior to 1960, a lot of the radio shows and that were developed in the 40s and 50s, you know, they were ending because they had moved to television, right? So what were radio stations going to do? And were they going to just be a jukebox or disc jockeys? Well, Robert Hyland had a vision that he would, create an at-your-service format, which was exactly what it meant. I mean, it was serving the community with talk, news and information, and there was music and entertainment and all kinds of things in there, but it wasn't a jukebox. It was a very, very well thought out, well-oiled machine.
Hardy would get the call to join KMOX in April of 1960, just months after the launch of At Your Service.
And then the way he got to KMOX is my dad loved music. He was a musician as a hobby, a wonderful piano player, had bands while he was in the Air Force. But he hated rock and roll, which at the time, that's what WIL played, was all the rock and roll stuff. And this was like in the very late 50s. And in 1960, he was approached by Bob Hyland to come to KMOX radio. And so he started at KMOX, I think, in April of 1960.
In that move, along with many others, shape the landscape of the radio industry forever. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and today we explore the life and legacy of KMOX newsman Bob Hardy.
Okay, Japan is now going into commercial time.
All right, and we'll do the same.
Be going to commercials over there?
Yeah, we're going to catch some commercials and be back with you in about 2.5-3 minutes, all right?
Okay.
All right.
This is a KMOX Radio special presentation.
Bob Hardy for 33 years was one of the voices that made KMOX Radio so special.
I'm Bob Hardy, here with you on KMOX Radio.
Bob Hardy was more than a voice on the radio. He was your friend, and he held you in great respect. He had respect for you and for your intelligence. He sat with you in your kitchen, and he updated you while you got ready for another day. He probably rode to work with you as well. He was here before you were up, getting ready, to keep you informed of what the day was holding.
The voice of another KMOX legend, Ann Keefe. On this KMOX radio special of Bob Hardy, I'm your host, Ryan Recker.
Bob was a very intense guy. Everybody there was pretty much intense. He was like the number one anchor. And he would read. He would go off in his little... he didn't really have an office. It was kind of a cubbyhole we built for him. But he would go there and read, talk to people, plan interviews, do things. He was just first class. He was king of the crop.
That's veteran newsman Bob Hamilton. There wasn't an interview Hardy would shy away from, as described by Charlie Brennan.
Camo X was further complimented by his skillful interviews on topical and sometimes controversial subjects. In 1960, among Bob Hardy's first guests on the pioneering At Your Service radio program, a prostitute with a drug addiction.
What drug are you now using?
Say from $40 to $75 a day.
Now, where do you get that kind of money?
I'm a prostitute.
How much do you make on a day's average?
Well, about that a day, 75, something like that, 50.
Medicine, religion, industry, the law, international events. No area of human interest was hidden from Bob Hardy's microphone.
Right. Politicians, parents, world leaders, commentators, reporters, presidents, or pothole fillers.
With his customary signature professionalism, courtesy, and skill.
It was Bob Hardy reporting. He was there when then-Democratic presidential candidate George McGovern called Missouri Senator Thomas Eagleton in his hotel room in 1972. Hardy then broke the news on Jack Carney's program.
Bob.
Yes, Jack.
We are back on the air. I didn't realize you had come back to us. Go ahead, please.
All right, here's the story, just the way we got it in the senator's room. As he picked up a phone call that he'd been waiting for 5 hours. Here's the way it went.
I'm flabbergasted, George. Are you kidding me? Before you change your mind, I hastily accept. Oh, my God, George, well, I'm as pleased as I could be. I'm honored, I'm flattered, and we'll do whatever I can. I hope I don't let you down. Thank you, George. God bless you. God bless everybody. And I feel that you had something to do with this, and thank you very much. All right, we'll have to start working on speeches. Right. Okay, just a minute. What's that? Just got my biographical sketch. Let me put him on, will you, so he can read all these first. Yeah, I'll see here.
Do you remember that occasion?
Well, I remember the occasion both, you know, from what it meant in my life, but I also remember the occasion specifically because Bob Hardy was there. I remember it very vividly. In fact, I think he'd been there most of the day. He sort of camped out there for at least a considerable period of time because if a call were to come, he wanted to be there when it was, and he didn't want to be caught somewhere else.
It looks like it. Wonderful, Bob, and thank you for being one of the patient guys, for being around with us, because not only do I respect your profession and your station, KMOX Radio, but you are a good personal friend. Congratulations. Best wishes. Thank
good
you.
Luck, Senator. Good luck.
And it wasn't just politics. Occasionally, Bob Hardy would cover a rock concert.
Can you dig it? Do you understand what they're talking about? If your generation rests somewhere on the graying side of the communications gap, then take a few minutes to listen to these young people tonight. It may narrow the gap between you and youth.
Yeah.
Bob attended a rock concert at Kiel Auditorium in 1970, complete with bell bottoms, to report on the youth of that era.
So I think people really enjoy it. That's why they come to rock concerts.
Jerry was dressed in jeans and a polo shirt. All around us swirled leather-fringed arms, paisley tie-dyed legs, purple satins, and Indian silks. But Jerry thought the way everybody was dressed was just fine for them.
Maybe these kids like to wear that, you know? Maybe it's their way of identity.
The whole idea of what journalism was at the time and would be nice if it still was today, the idea that these are the facts and we're going to present them to you, our listener, let you make your own decision rather than I'm going to feed you what I want you to believe. That was always one of Dad's big things is, you know, let me just give you the facts and you make your own decisions as to what's going on in the world. I think he and Mr. Hyland had that in common.
His daughter, Sandy, explains.
I think Mr. Hyland, he shaped a city, but he also shaped the whole industry because talk radio actually did start at KMOX. We wouldn't have all the talk shows on TV and radio and every place else today if it wasn't for KMOX radio. And who started that? Mr. Hyland started it. He had a group of people working for him that went along with his idea, whether they agreed with it at the beginning or not. I don't know, but I mean, it worked. Would it work today if it was just starting today? I really don't know. But the people that Mr. Hyland hired at that time, they were incredible and they all meshed.
One day feeling my oats on the morning show, I read the weather forecast and I said, the temperature is a perfect 36. And the phone rang and he said, knock it off. That's not KMOX.
Bob and the late Robert Hyland worked together for 32 years to make KMOX a broadcast giant. Hyland and Hardy explained the station's philosophy during their 17th anniversary at your service in a 1977 program.
I'll spend the whole key with at your service from the very beginning. You sort of take a look at what needs to be done and you do it. Is there any topic, is there any subject that doesn't have a place for an at your service discussion?
I don't think so, Bob. I think some of our listeners at times have questioned why we had this particular group on or why did we treat that subject. Every facet and every phase of American life today and the problems of our nation, the joys, the sorrows, the ups, the downs, the various things that are happening, and how are they going to know? They might think they know something about a particular subject. Maybe they're very opposed to this particular subject, but how are they going to know about that subject unless we try to put it on the air for them and dissect it, and then they can maybe make a more proper judgment as to what that subject is all about, whether they're right in their thinking, whether they want to change their mind about something.
And after working with him and listening to him, I thought, man, if I'm ever a broadcaster, I want to sound like that. Mm-hmm. Because nobody ever loved the business Mm-mm. more than Bob. Bob would stay on the air 5,000 hours in a row if he had to. That's how much he loved it.
His delivery was, just one in a million. And his understanding of his audience was, unlike anything else.
That's Bill Wilkerson and Wendy Weiss. We'll include some of their moments later in this special as we look back at the life and legacy of KMOX newsman Bob Hardy.
This is a KMOX radio special presentation.
Bob Hardy shaped the spirit and idea of KMOX News. As Jim Butler pointed out in the book At Your Service, Hardy understood the values of objectivity in radio. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Former producer Kate Bacon explains how Hardy would set up his show.
At the top of the hour, we'd have news and then followed by a break and then sports and then throw into the pre-show tease and then into a break and then into the show. And then we'd throw into another break so that the people could call in. Mm. And I would be sitting there and I had 20 phone lines, which back then was like amazing. Wow, 20 phone lines. And I would answer each one and say, KMOX, what would you like to say? And then I would type in, I would make them, and if they didn't, they didn't get on the air, but I would make them tell me the basics of what they wanted to talk about. And then I would type it on this cutting edge, hear the air quotes, computer. And then Bob on the other side of the glass could see what each line would be. And then I would suggest that he go to line this or line that. And so that's how we kind of put the show together.
Hardy would later mention that most talk radio hosts would work their way down a list of questions, but they wouldn't pay attention to the answers. When there was breaking news, he was the voice you turned to, as former KMOX manager Tom Lingmeyer explains.
Bob was just a tremendous guy. And Bob, by the way, just a great broadcaster, you know, and a lot of times you can sort of downplay a broadcaster by saying, well, they have a nice voice. Bob had a wonderful voice, but he was also a great and smart man, and he was a patriot, and he was someone who, you know, was the trusted voice if things had gone wrong in the country, and someone you could count on.
He loved, when I say breaking news, I don't mean breaking news in the sense of, hi, I'm here looking and telling you, but breaking news in the sense of, this is going on and we're talking to this person about it. He loved that.
He was so old school that when he broadcast, he would still put his hand up against his ear, and cup his ear, and read the news that way. And I think there was only one other person, was Jack Buck would do that, and it was Bob Hardy. They both did that. When they're reading the news, they put the hand over the ear and then start reading the news. It was very old school. It was classic.
KMOX producer Chris Myhill.
But I think the overwhelming thing that drove him was his love for the radio and love for the station and loved reading the news.
Bob wanted the people we're interviewing and talking to, and then the callers, to be the important part of his show. He didn't grandstand. He was really a very upstanding guy with a lot of integrity.
One example was June 6th, 1968. The day after Robert Kennedy was shot.
And we are back now with KMOX radio in St. Louis. And there, an indication of the kind of flexibility that we had hoped to be able to maintain throughout the last, oh, roughly 25, 30 hours, perhaps better than that, almost 40 hours. The idea that we feel we may be called upon at any moment to switch back to CBS News for instant reports. Yet to be determined, the results of the autopsy. That may yet be forthcoming in this hour or in the next hour. And in addition, some kind of further information on the suspect, Siran. So these still providing possible cutaways for us here as we continue with a KMOX at your service open line. Mission 78900 is the number. Some of our listeners have been remaining on the line, and we'll get to another call in just a moment.
As they continued coverage on KMOX, the RFK assassination led to a number of theories.
Alan, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, Bob. Very interesting program, and I'm grateful to KMOX for bringing this service.
But, thank you.
In view of the fact that two important people in one family have been the victims of communist assassins, and the fact that there's 10,000 murders last year, and not all by guns, but by knives and what have you. In fact, there was a million switchblade knives sold last year. Now, Bob, in my opinion, I think all government employees should be screened for possible communist influences. And certainly, we have laws on the books now so far as guns are concerned, so I don't see any additional legislation would be necessary. But I think the Communist Party, as such, should be outlawed in this country. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. The only thing we'd quarrel with the gentleman was his flat-out statement that two members of the same family were killed by communist assassins. That's a very strong statement, and up to now has been unproven in both the case of the late President Kennedy and certainly in the case of assassin or the attempted assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. As to whether or not the Communist Party ought to be outlawed in the United States, it is a comment that has been made with some frequency in the last 4 years or so, and even greater frequency.
In Sandy's book, At Your Service, KMOX and Bob Hardy, Pioneers of Talk Radio, then senior White House correspondent for Newsweek, Tom DeFrank said, Bob was Mr. KMOX. He personified to me professionalism and integrity. I can never remember a situation where he didn't give every listener, every caller, every guest an opportunity to have his or her say.
I never saw him flustered the whole time I knew him. Not that, you know, that would be an important aspect, but he was always very together.
I first sat in a studio with him between 12:30 and 1 in the afternoon watching him take calls. And I came from Boston, where there was a lot of give and back between Jerry Williams and Gene Burns and the callers to the radio shows. And someone could have called Bob Hardy and said, you know, I think Genghis Khan was really a good guy. And Hardy wouldn't argue with them. He'd say, you know, I was wondering when someone would call up with that. And then he'd go to the next call.
I think Dad was highly respected by everybody, politicians especially, because they knew that he was going to be fair with them, in his reporting. And he wasn't going to take sound bites that made them look like idiots or, you know, went against what they really believed and everything. So he would do a week in Washington and interview all these people from Missouri and the St. Louis and Southern Illinois area, senators and congressmen and everything. And everybody was always, sure, I'll sit down and talk to you, Bob. You know, not a problem, because they all knew that he was going to be fair with them.
In 1964, Bob interviewed U.S. Senator Stuart Symington in Atlantic City for the Democratic Convention.
Senator Symington, have conventions, in your opinion, outlived their usefulness? Are they really an integral part of the political scene?
I should think they are. Yes, indeed.
In 1967, Bob Hardy with former Mayor Ray Tucker.
And we say hello to Raymond R. Tucker. Good to have you with us, sir.
Nice to be here, Bob.
Mr. Tucker, what was it back in, 10, 15 years or so ago, what was it that suddenly created an awareness?
In 1969, with Dr. Christian Barnard.
You're rather a famous gentleman. You have sort of broken the mold and have been able to accomplish a few things that heretofore were not accomplishable in the whole medical field. Do you consider this the end or just the beginning?
No, I think it's just the beginning. There's still many problems that we have to solve before we can really say that.
And now back to our studios and KMOX News Director Bob Hardy. All right, Jim, thank you very much for being able to chat for a moment with Rather and for giving us some of the color and the highlights and the sound of the activity at the JC's convention. KMOX Radio in St. Louis, 12:31 is our time as we continue live coverage of the president's visit to St. Louis. Let's switch now to Bill Wilkerson. We've been given to understand that the president has stepped behind the curtain and probably is making his way out of the building. Bill, do you have any indication as to his presence at this particular moment?
No, Bob, at this point.
He was asked to run for office numerous times by both parties. So that tells you how unbiased he was. He never let his own feelings come across.
Here's Hardy as he's remembered by former U.S. Representative Dick Gephardt.
No, he wasn't easy. He was honest and candid and fair. He was always objective. He didn't favor one party or another or one candidate or another. He was always just straight. And I really admired him for that. As you know, our society depends upon an independent, fair press. And he was certainly the best example of that I can think of.
More of the work of Bob Hardy coming up next on KMOX.
This is a KMOX Radio special presentation.
My name is Rwanda, and I'm from the East St. Louis area.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been listening to Mr. Hardy ever since I was about 15 years old, and I will miss him. I will really miss him, because every morning I've never used an alarm clock. because he was my alarm clock.
I just absolutely love you and Bob Chase, Bob Hardy, Rex Davis. Patrick Emery is just adorable. And Jim White, one day I love him, next day I could choke him, but I keep listening, and I'm and I do not like Jack Carney, and
I express appreciation, and I enjoy Rex and Bob in the morning, especially that dime rhyme. And when Bob says, "Oh, look in the sky, it's pinkening," well, I look, and I really enjoy it. And that reminds me to say, God bless you, every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And, you know, this studio, I don't know if our listeners all know, has windows all around it, and we look right out on the arch. So in the morning, Rex and Bob can see the sun coming up.
Well, it's beautiful.
And it's lovely. So,
as you probably know, Bob Hardy made a big impact on the KMOX audience in a short amount of time.
I've worked for the police department for 20 years, and I wake up at 5 o'clock every morning when Bob would come on, and he just made my morning go so much better. I listen to the radio station all night, but, you know, off and on, I sleep and wake up. But at 5 o'clock in the morning when Bob came on, that just made my morning.
I called him my grandpa because I've listened to KMOX ever since I was old enough to listen and understand what was going on the radio. My mom and dad have a radio that their dial is stuck on KMOX. They can't even tune it to anything else, okay? And, so I like I said, I've grown up with Bob Hardy. I remember being 5 years old and 10 to 7, that morning march, come on, and him and Rex Davis, it might be 3 below 0 outside, snow on the balcony, and you'd hear them come in after the march go off the air, and they'd be huffing and puffing. They were, you know, and I thought these was two old men. I'm thinking, no, you know them old men ain't out there on their balcony marching around.
Two quick stories. First, in 1966, Bob Hardy was tasked with one of the most unique jobs in KMOX history, to transfer home plate from Sportsman's Park to the new Busch Stadium with the help of the KMOX helicopter.
We lived at the end of a cul-de-sac, and so the helicopter would come over and drop down into our front yard. Dad would get in the helicopter and take him off to cover a story, you know, some breaking story, and then they'd bring him home. In fact, this is in the, and the picture is in the book, when home plate, when they moved from Sportsman's Field to Busch Stadium in, what was that, 65, I think it was. Dad actually carried home plate from Sportsman's Park.
Those of you here in the new stadium have been watching the KMOX helicopter cruise round and round. In just a few minutes, it'll be landing, bringing in the home plate, the symbolic removal of home plate this afternoon, and replanting here at the new stadium will be achieved just a few minutes from now. But very quickly, let's go to Bob Hardy in the helicopter.
All right, Jim. I just want you and all the people who are in that new Busch Stadium right below us to know that on my lap is the historic home plate from the old Sportsman's Park to the old Busch Stadium, or the old baseball park out on Grand and Dodier.
Because of the whole big celebration, there were several hours between taking it to the new Busch Stadium. So the helicopter landed in our front yard over in Belleville, and home plate was sitting in our front yard in the helicopter for a couple hours.
They broadcast live when they moved home base, and I think he was in the helicopter when they moved the home base.
I understand that Miss St. Louis, Miss Shirley Templemeyer, will help Bob with that home plate. Quite probably Bob Hardy is paralyzed. He's been carrying it in his lap for the last 3 hours in the helicopter.
There he goes. He stepped out of the helicopter just now. And there is Miss Redbird to help him carry it. And now here comes Miss Redbird. Why, that thing mustn't be as heavy as they said. She's carrying it without any difficulty at all, Jim. Or else she's a pretty strong young lady.
Either that or Hardy has been trying to make us think he works harder than he really does.
I think maybe that's it. He said it on the air before. When I asked him about it, he said 45 to 50 pounds. Well, she's carrying it like there's nothing to it.
It was just, you know, normal everyday stuff, actually. Yeah, looking back on it, it was pretty abnormal and pretty special. But at the time, it was like, oh, yeah, the helicopter's coming to get Dad again.
One more story. Did you know that it was Bob Hardy that discovered the big bumper, Jim White?
You were in your living room tuning around on the radio.
Well, I was about 10 years and 4 weeks and 3 days ago tonight.
Bob Hardy, how are you?
Hey, you're...
And I was getting ready to go to bed,
mm-hmm.
and I was remembering what Bob Hyland had said. And he said, you know, so we sure would like to have a guy, somebody, we need somebody. And if you know of anybody. Well, anyway, I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I was dial twiddling and having my last cup of coffee before I went to sleep. And I found this strange voice coming out of the little black box. And it was, I think the guy said he was working for a radio station in Pittsburgh. KWK, I think that was it. Something
well, the
like
first KDKA letters.
Or something like that. I don't remember. Anyway, we listened to this fella for about 4 or 5 nights in a row, and I suggested to the boss that maybe he'd like to listen to him, and he did. And we put a phone call into this young fella and said, you know, it'd be a great idea if maybe you'd come down and consider our place to go to work. And he said, well, that might not be a bad idea. And sure enough, a couple of weeks later, he came down, and about 3 weeks after that, he signed up with us. Now, that was 10 years and 4 weeks and 3 days ago tonight. The guy's name was Jim White, and he's been with us ever since, and we're doggone proud to have him.
I think the story was Dad was sitting on the side of the bed one night, flipping through the dial on the radio, and came across Jim in, Pittsburgh, I think it was, right?
Right.
And said, oh, this guy sounds good. We need to talk to him.
The reason I came here, really, was mentioned Bob Hardy was more responsible for me being here than anybody else, the late Bob. I went into work at KDK one day, had a phone message hanging on the bulletin board that said, Jim White, call Bob Hardy at KMOX in St. Louis, which immediately tipped everybody off something was going on. But, you know, he was news director down here at the time. But I didn't know much about the station. I'd heard it a couple of times, and they flew me down here. Bob was working about 27 hours a day then, and I remember he was appealing to Mr. Hyland to get some help, and Mr. Hyland said to him, well, I'm too busy, you find somebody.
Jim was a kick. He was funny. He was so friendly. He was a great big teddy bear, and I adored him. Mom and Dad had a boat on the river, and Jim and Patty had a boat on the river, and their two daughters, so I mean, we would see them frequently up on the river. And like I say, he was a big teddy bear, and I just adored him.
So if you stayed up late enjoying KMOX After Dark, you have Bob Hardy to thank.
The legendary voice of St. Louis is the home of some of Mid-America's best-known personalities. This is News Talk 1120, KMOX St. Louis.
CBS News, I'm Bill.
Well, KMOX has been a part of my family ever since I can remember, from the time I got up to go to school in the morning to the time I came home.
I'm Ryan Recker. More of the Bob Hardy Special is coming up next on KMOX.
This is a special presentation of KMOX Radio.
KMOX calls itself the voice of St. Louis. If anything, that is an understatement. When we think of St. Louis, we think of the Gateway Arch, the Mississippi River, and that big brewery with the big horses. But we also think of KMOX. This station has been a driving force throughout Mid-America and the nation for more years than we can count. Since ratings are a major factor in your decision-making process, it's important to point out that the Arbitron sweep ranks KMOX as number one in audience share in any major market in the nation. You can't beat that figure. But numbers alone can't tell the KMOX story. Only people can tell that story. And it's people that make this great station tick.
Bob Hardy was the Walter Cronkite of St. Louis. Great voice, terrific presence, simultaneously warm and welcoming, but also authoritative. He had credibility out the kazoo.
Bob was a very intense guy. Everybody there was pretty much intense. He was like the number one anchor. And he would read. He would go off in his little... he didn't really have an office. It was kind of a cubbyhole we built for him. But he would go there and read, talk to people, plan interviews, do things. He was just first class. He was... King of the crop.
Reflecting on Bob Hardy, that's KMOX legend Bob Costas and veteran newsman Bob Hamilton. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Hardy was part of many KMOX firsts, including radio connections to foreign countries, live and abroad.
When Jimmy Carter took listener questions from a national audience in 1977, it was Bob Hardy who took St. Louis questions afterward. When President Bush spoke to KMOX live from Air Force One in 1992, he spoke to Bob Hardy. KMOX in Washington, in Moscow, in Berlin, or at the Gulf War. It was Bob Hardy's voice we heard from those places. When Newsweek this year examined the phenomenon of talk radio, it gave Bob Hardy special credit for his work in St. Louis.
Charlie Brennan points out the Newsweek article, The Power of Talk, published in February of 1993. They highlight such radio hosts as Larry King, Rush Limbaugh, Don Imus, Howard Stern, Bob Grant. And one of the last mentions in the article says veteran host Bob Hardy from St. Louis and Brad Davis from Hartford draw big audiences interested in consumer and community affairs. His daughter, Sandy Hardy Chin, explains one of those trips abroad.
5 countries, I think, in 5 days, and ended up on Red Square, in Red Square, in Russia. They went to, oh my goodness, Hungary and Poland.
Where? That was a big deal.
Yeah, it really was to be broadcasting from there back to St. Louis.
KMOX had the first talk show, live talk show on the air, part of At Your Service, with Russia, Moscow. And it was the first. You know, nobody had ever done it before. The Russians wouldn't allow it. And he was good friends with William Webster, who happened to be the head of the CIA and the FBI. So he, you know, had connections. He could make things work. CBS Network didn't care too much about it. You know, they were more for television and everything. But he was going to do the first talk show with Russia, and he did. And Bob Hardy, who was one of the, you know, the big news people at the time, was going to go over to Moscow and do this talk show. First, though, they had to go to Poland to pick up their bus. They had one of these big buses. It was a tobacco company, and that was in France or something. And when they got to Poland, the potato farmers in Poland were striking. They would not allow traffic to go into Russia. So I got a call. I was working the overnight shift, I think, at the time. So it was like 1 a.m. or something. Bob Hardy or Chris Myhill or somebody with the station called and said, we're stuck in Poland. We can't get across the border because the Polish potato farmers are rioting, revolting. So I went in and told, Robert Hyland was at work. It was, you know, 1 a.m, so he was at the office. And I went and I told him, we have a problem. The Polish potato farmers are holding up the bus. I said, that's the bad news. The good news is that Bob Hardy is not on the bus. He stayed in wherever they were in Europe. And he was going to go on later, fly or something. And Robert Hyland said, I'll take care of that. And he did.
Moscow time is 6 p.m.
В эфире прямая передача.
This is a direct line Moscow to St. Louis, KMOX.
Добрый вечер, Москва.
Good evening, Moscow. Good morning, St. Louis. The radio will connect not only Moscow and St. Louis, but the microphones are right in the center of Moscow on Red Square, just outside the Kremlin. And the crew from KMOX, Bob Hardy and his crew, came here last night at Sheremetyevo, or this morning, and they are all on Red Square. So, welcome.
Ah, Titania, thank you so much. Спасибо. And it is so great to finally meet you face to face. To our St. Louis audience, I will tell you that Red Square, for all intents and purposes, is about to be closed. The military and the people of the city are preparing for a big operation that we know about. It'll be May 1st, and there's another one that comes shortly thereafter, a couple of weeks.
Bob was the voice of Radio Bridge on our side of the world, the two-way street to then the Soviet Union. And the person on the other end of the line who was the person who set up all of this with Radio Moscow, Sergei Gorychov. And I asked Sergei, would you please share some thoughts on Bob Hardy?
Yes, Kevin. I tell you, I think we were very close. At least I considered myself a friend of Bob, although he was much older. But sometimes when we talked, it looked like we were of the same age, like we were friends of the same age. And sometimes it was like he was my father. So it was different all the time. Yeah, we did. I remember him being at the Red Square. I think that some of the listeners, St. Louis, may remember that historic broadcast of KMOX from Moscow, from the Red Square. And I have this photograph of Bob with his microphone. He's holding his microphone like a violin. Radio and KMOX was his life. And he devoted his life to this. And he was very happy at that moment, standing at the Red Square and broadcasting to his listeners at KMOX. That was a few years ago. A lot of things changed since that time.
And things do change. More of the Bob Hardy Special coming up next on KMOX.
Is a special presentation from KMOX Radio.
I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Bob Hardy would open the world to St. Louis, and he would often call upon guests from other countries to learn more about their lifestyles and ideas.
He also did broadcasts with people with a 4G radio in Australia. And that was going on for a long time.
One such night included a live connection to Japan.
1208, I'm Charlie Brown, KMOX Radio News. Back to our link with Japan, here's Bob Hardy.
All right, Charlie, thank you very much. Jeff Berglund, you on the line with us from Osaka?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, let me put a
can
question.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Let's put
okay.
a question to you from one of our listeners. Go ahead, please, you're on the air with
okay.
Osaka.
Hi, Bob. I'd like to commend KMOX for providing this link. First of all, I'd like to say that in the United States, Japanese products are considered a more of a luxury. And I'd like to find out, first of all, how American products fare against Japanese products in Japan. And secondly, I'd like to know how Japanese families spend their outside entertainment as opposed to movies or things of that nature.
All right, fine. Can you help us with that, Jeff?
Okay, first of all, not only American products, but any product that has English-style writing, French, German, Italian, European products, are considered luxury goods. So a lot of products over here will sell for more than the same product would sell for in the United States, simply because it has a lot of English writing.
All right, I'll tell you what. You may communicate with us heart-to-heart, but one of our favorite young broadcasters has just strolled into the studio, and I would assume you probably recognize the name of Bob Costas. Robert, good to have you with us.
Bob, good to see you. I don't know if I would be recognized in Japan or not, although increasingly...
Broadcasts of American sporting events are carried on satellite around the world. I've been in Europe several times this summer, and American baseball games, football games, were carried in Berlin and in London, and I know that baseball is tremendously popular in Japan.
He's one of our premier sports broadcasters, baseball, football, basketball, you name it, and he lives here in St. Louis, and he just wanted to say hello to you, Bondo. Bob, do you know Bondo? Have you ever looked back over his baseball history?
No, I haven't. So I'm as equally unfamiliar with him as he is with me. So we start out on equal ground, but the common ground would be baseball because it is the national game of Japan as well as of the United States. And many American players, former American players, are performing now in Japan. And maybe he could give...
In further connections to Moscow, including this one, which was live on C-SPAN with Senator John Danforth of Missouri and Senator Paul Simon of Illinois.
In January of 1989, KMOX began a monthly exchange with Moscow Radio, in which listeners from St. Louis can talk to a host in Moscow and vice versa. The programs feature hosts in each studio with guests and translators and are broadcast throughout the Soviet Union. Today's show will feature 1 hour of the Soviet simulcast, and then we'll continue with the local St. Louis show. The host for today's show is Bob Hardy, who co-anchors the KMOX morning news program called Total Information AM. The show airs every weekday from 5 to 9 a.m., and then Mr. Hardy interviews various personalities for his Newsmakers Hour from 9 to 10.
I think what the gentleman is saying, what lies at the heart of his question, was that there have been concessions made by Mr. Gorbachev, as well as concessions made by the United States, and those concessions on both sides ought to be fully recognized rather than to have third parties take shots at them. What do you feel? Translation again, gentlemen. It's awfully quiet over there.
I can breathe louder.
Thanks, Nick.
It was a great experience. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Jack Danforth, Senator John Danforth, I'm sorry, I have to be more formal with the television camera in here, and Senator Paul Simon, they've been our guests here this morning. Now,
first of all, I can just comment on something that you don't want me to comment on, that is your professionalism, Bob. As sure. I can tell of listeners of KMOX, I get on call-in programs, Pittsburgh, New York, Los Angeles. There's no better talk show host in the nation than Bob Hardy.
I'm Bob Hardy. In this hour, a bit more in the way of continuation, the evaluation of last night's activity over at Washington University. Tom DeFrank, senior White House correspondent for Newsweek magazine, who is a regular guest of ours here, is in the studio today. We'll spend a little time with him. We also, Tom, plan to spend time with representatives of Mr. Bush, Mr. Clinton, Mr. Perot. I said last night as we walked out of the field house that we know what we saw, we know what we heard. Now we'll have to give the spin doctors time and see what they say. And we intended to do that, so we'll hear.
Hardy loved KMOX, and St. Louis loved Hardy. Producer Kate Bacon.
I always thought Bob was the Rodney Dangerfield of KMOX. He never really got the respect or the attention I believe he deserved. And quite frankly, he may not have actually wanted it. I never thought of that until just now. But Bob did amazing things, and everybody else seemed to get the other media spotlight. And maybe that was by choice. I don't know.
Bob Hardy was a real gentleman and a very nice guy, a real newsman, kind of like was a local Walter Cronkite. Couldn't have been friendlier in the hallway. Was a square in a good way. I say that in a positive way. You know, he was just a good interviewer, had a really distinct sound, never ruffled feathers.
Yeah, he's another person that I love to watch work and, you know, so professional. And, I mean, just the way he carried himself and the way he dressed, a crisp white shirt and beautiful tie. And he just had the ability. I mean, he could hold a presidential press conference. I mean, literally, I think he had done it.
That's former KMOX sales manager Clint Hasse. Now, producer Chris Myhill.
You know, in the early 80s, I think I probably met him in 81. It was the cool guy, you know, but not just the cool guy. He was news.
Del Hollenberg and Jack Musterman are a couple of the gentlemen who are heading this detail out here at the far end of Ferguson Lane. Jack, what's the situation? What kind of turnout did you get from the request this morning for volunteers?
Well, we got a terrific turnout in the last hour or two. I guess we must have got 300 people or so out here.
Just the way he delivered news, his voice.
What are the problems of the big city? How much money is it going to take to rebuild them, if indeed we should rebuild them? Are they worth saving? These are questions we've asked over and over again. Amongst ourselves, questions we've asked of party leaders and both sides of the political fence, questions for which we would like some answers.
It was suddenly, when you turned on radio and you heard Bob Hardy, it was like, uh-oh, this is news. This is important. I have to tune in.
And back on At Your Service, we check in now with Bill Green of Rockwell International. Bill, how are things going down in Houston?
Just fine. The Soyuz cosmonauts have just opened the hatch in the orbital module, and right now we're getting a television picture of the two astronauts.
So we're just a few minutes away then.
Right, we're getting very close now.
I understand the governments of the Soviet Union and the United States are going to be talking, presumably Brezhnev and Ford, huh?
Right.
Honesty and the truth in telling the story and humility, whether you're on the air or off the air. You can be a celebrity, but not act like one. And so those were all very important things to him.
Oh, he liked to interview the East Coast decision makers. We talked to, across the 2 years, we talked to President Carter. I actually had his, you know, hotline number in his studio or in his office in Plains. He liked to talk to, we talked to all those opinion makers that you hear about today, George Will and Tom Friedman. And they were known, but not like they are today. So Mr. Hyland and Judy and a lady named Peggy were really good at lining up folks who really, you know, made an impact. He loved that.
I've had this discussion with a lot of friends who knew him and even people who didn't know him. I think he'd probably be rolling over in his grave with the way the media is today. There are a few places you can get an honest line of stories, all the information that is out there, but I think he'd be very disappointed with where the industry has gone.
Many remember Bob Hardy for his work with Bill Wilkerson and Wendy Weiss, which we'll look at next on this KMOX radio special.
I'm Bob Hardy, co-host of Total Information here on KMOX Radio in St. Louis. We hit the air every morning from 5:30 to 9 with news, weather, sports, time, temperature, traffic, all the things that somebody might need to get a morning going. All except the coffee. We have to make that ourselves.
You know, one of the real joys of working at KMOX is the ability to do a number of different things. For instance, I co-host the Total Information AM with Bob Hardy, which is comprised of news, sports, weather in the morning, and also get a chance to do play-by-play on Missouri University football and St. Louis Cardinal football, in addition to the sports open line. So on KMOX Radio, you get a wide range of experience, and all of it's a lot of fun, because when you're number one, it's always fun. KMOX Radio in St. Louis. Total Information, total sports.
This is KMOX.
Bob was all business. Bill loved sports. And Wendy was kind of the mediator of the three, the jokester. So I think it was, I would say Bill and Wendy were kind of a more of the jokesters, and Bob was all news.
That's KMOX producer Chris Myhill. When many people think of Bob Hardy, they think of Bob, Bill, and Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy and Bill, and that was the big three on the morning show, was Wendy and Bill Wilkerson and Dad. And they were all 10 years apart, age-wise, and so you got a very diverse ideas on many things.
That's Hardy's daughter, Sandy. Now, Bill Wilkerson and Wendy Weiss.
Well, it was Bob Hardy, and I think Rex Davis, and who else was it, Wendy, at that time?
Well, it was Bob and Rex. Rex had retired a couple of times and then come out of retirement a couple of times. I can't remember who was doing sports at that before.
And for a brief moment, John McCormick had done a little bit in the morning. So he was looking for a morning guy, but that didn't register
with
me.
Well, Jim Butler, had done. Yeah.
So he said, what do you think about doing the morning show? I said, you mean waking up at 5 and actually be? He said, yeah, that.
He was just, he was such a warm blanket. You know, we always talked about that. His voice was unlike anything, it was like a fuzzy robe and slippers. And even if something was really, you know, if something ominous was going on in the world, Bob had a way of making you feel like, hey, everything's going to be fine. You know, if the arch fell in the river, we always joked he would somehow make that seem fine. Everything was going to be okay because Bob Hardy was in the chair.
That's the sound of KMOX Radio's At Your Service, the granddaddy of all information programs in the entire broadcast industry. For thousands of listeners, this is the program that is synonymous with the fourth element of KMOX programming, information.
Good morning to you from Total Information. I'm Bob Hardy.
I'm Bill Wilkerson.
And I'm Wendy Weiss. High cloudiness and mild this morning, turning considerably cloudy this afternoon. Warm temperatures will have a high today in the mid-80s. 69 degrees at Lambert Field.
How do you wake up, by an alarm clock or naturally? This survey here in USA Snapshot says 54% of the people wake up by an alarm or clock radio. 39% wake up naturally, and 5% need several alarms. I have a little alarm clock that I want to throw against the wall.
But you need it.
I need it.
My husband needs a civil defense siren.
But you know, rain and storms and that sort of thing don't bother me at night. I can wake up, we're going to be floating down the street, and I would have no clue as what's taking place.
And there's that alarm clock.
But you see the clock that you can set by your bed, and it focuses the time in big letters up on your ceiling.
We have one of those.
You have one of those?
Absolutely. Greatest thing in the world.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
On the ceiling.
Oh, that's right.
I want to hear more about this ceiling.
It's a very simple little device.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
She is really sick today. The news in a minute.
But I must tell you, initially, he asked me, who is this girl? Why is he giving us a girl? I didn't know what to say.
Yeah,
you know,
because I had been in the newsroom for what? About 2 months.
I mean, he was Mr. Man.
Oh yeah.
And you're going to put a girl on his show?
A girl on his show?
And I thought, bye. I don't know. I've never met her, but she's going to be on the show. So get with it.
He knew me from the newsroom. It wasn't like he hadn't laid eyes on me before. But I think he was surprised that I went from doing the hourly newscast, anchoring the hourly newscast, and doing some fill in at your service on Fridays or Saturday during the days. I worked with Zipper Zeppa, and I remember when Joe Buck was just like 11 years old, coming in with Jack and working on his, his delivery.
Bob lived in the country. I lived in the city. Bob's white. I'm black. Bob was an Air Force veteran, and I love airplanes. So we always had something to talk about because I absolutely loved airplanes.
One of the proudest moments of my life. It was about a month after I started, and we were in the lobby meeting a client or somebody, and Bob referred to me as his partner. And that was pretty amazing.
When the sun comes up over the arch every morning, most people start the day with the area's most popular wake-up team, Bob Hardy and Bill Wilkerson. Their Total Information program combines news, weather, sports, helicopter traffic reports, and lively feature information. And it is far and away the most popular morning drive time program in the St. Louis area. It almost makes waking up a pleasure.
In 1990, 30 years after joining KMOX, Bob Hardy suffered a stroke, which threatened his broadcast career.
After his stroke, he came back to work after, I think it was 4 weeks. He still wasn't quite talking correctly. He was still having some issues with forming words and everything, but he came back to work and laid down in the between shows and stuff. They put a little cot somewhere in the newsroom, I guess, for him.
They brought in a mattress that he was supposed to, after his morning shift, that he was supposed to go rest for an hour or so before he did the newsmaker's show at noon. And he did. And I think it did help. But here's a guy who had a stroke. He's at work at 4:30 in the morning, doing a very stressful morning show. And yet, at the end of it, he waits 2 or 3 hours and preps for his next show. That's unbelievable. You don't see that anywhere today.
But the reason he wanted to come back was to show other people that just because you have a stroke doesn't mean it's the end of your life and the end of what you want to do. And he wanted to come back to work.
Hardy credited the late Robert Hyland with compassion and caring after Hardy's illness in 1990.
When I had a stroke last year, he called my wife, Ree, and he said, "Don't worry. I'll get him the best doctor and the best treatment in the country." And he did. And he said to Ree, "Don't worry about time off, time to recover. We'll manage." until Bob gets back. And when I did come back, he was supportive. He overlooked the sometimes still slurred speech. He brought in a blow-up mattress, had Helen Campbell go out and buy one. He vacated an office, and he insisted I take a one-hour nap every morning between Total Information, which ended at 8:30, and News Block, which began at 11.
When he had a stroke, I went and visited him in, he was at St. John's, and his room was facing Highway 270, and he was looking at the traffic going north and south, and it was probably in the afternoon, so it was kind of rush hour, it was very busy, and he just, I remember him saying, I thought when I was no longer on KMOX that everything would end. And he just kind of paused and looked at the traffic and he said, life goes on, even without me.
We'll continue for one last segment, remembering the work of Bob Hardy, next on KMOX.
The following is a special presentation from KMOX.
All those people that we've had on the air, where did they go?
Those faraway places with a strange sound and name.
In my mind, Bob Hardy was Mr. Radio News in this community. He was an individual of immense intelligence, of objectivity, and I feel that this entire community has really lost a good, constructive friend.
It was just like somebody had drained us all of any joy or excitement. True professionals, and these people were total professionals. Quite frankly, I have worked in television and worked with top talent, but never a group like KMOX for professionalism.
The relentless pursuit of a news story and scrupulously honest about reporting whatever he saw or heard. I have always been a great admirer of Bob Hardy's.
You just heard from former St. Louis County Executive Lawrence Ruse, also Don Miller and Kate Bacon. Thanks for listening to this Bob Hardy radio documentary. If you've enjoyed this, share it with a friend. Or you can find some of my other radio documentaries on Mr. Robert Hyland, Jim White, and Keefe, among other KMOX special memories. You can find those at KMOX.com or search for them wherever you get your podcasts. We continue with this Bob Hardy radio retrospective on KMOX.
He had a genetically diseased heart, and he died of a massive heart attack, so... It's, you know, I don't mean it like, so, you know, we knew, the family knew. I don't think too many other people knew that he had these issues.
Yeah, he never mentioned it to us. I mean, maybe he did privately to Bill or Wendy. He was a smoker, but, you know, back then, everybody, well, not everybody, a lot of people smoked. So I'm sure that was probably a contributing factor.
Bob Hardy suffered a fatal heart attack on Sunday, April 18th, 1993, one day after his 33rd year anniversary with KMOX.
He had a massive heart attack. He was out mowing the lawn with a push mower, just doing some trimming, and which you were never going to get him not to do stuff like that. Yeah, he had a massive heart attack. As I mentioned before, I think he had had a stroke. So they knew that there were some issues.
One Sunday, I received a phone call, and unfortunately, Bob was working out in his yard and had died and had a heart attack and had passed away in his early 60s. And it was just a horrible, horrible thing for St. Louis and certainly for his great family and our family of listeners at KMOX.
It was like losing one of the pillars, you know, of the station. I mean, these were legendary figures, and to lose them within such a short time, it kind of shook us. But I think we also realized, you know, this is we're just keepers of the lighthouse. You know, someone else will keep the light burning, even when we're gone.
So we really became, we were these two strangers, you know, odd buddies, But I was enamored with him. You know, he became my very best friend.
Oh, he was the guy. He was the senior guy. I mean, he was kind of like the town elder. You know, if you had any questions, you'd go to Bob. He was absolutely the leader.
The Broadcasting Hall of Fame should have a whole not wing, but a whole big display of just the KMOX, what they did and how they did it and who made it work.
Where else would he have done it? I don't know. I know that he was asked to go to New York City numerous times, and he always said he'd rather be a big fish in a little pond than a little fish in a big pond. But he did say that. But it was also, again, he was concerned about family and raising his family in New York City, and that was probably the biggest thing that kept him from going there. But he was perfectly happy where he was. I don't think there was ever a time that he thought about going to any other city, any other station, anything. He loved where he was.
Bob was kind of a hidden gem. He took a back seat, but he was really a foundation. He was a foundational element of KMOX. And I know that KMOX was very important in the sports world, and it still is, in my opinion, because anybody who has the Cardinals, yay team. But Bob really set a lot of that foundation. And he also was big on making sure it was right.
I asked Sandy Hardy Chin, how should we remember your father, Bob Hardy?
As a humble, family-oriented, very talented man who his thing in life was to give back. He gave back so much through giving all of his speeches, through the Shriners that he was such a big part of.
While here, Bob won awards for more than 50 professional, civic, and service groups. A special series of broadcasts from the Eastern Bloc nations when the Iron Curtain fell brought Bob and KMOX a National Headliner Award. Bob was active in the Shrine and served as Imperial Potentate of the Inod Temple in 1976. He worked hard for the Scott Air Force Base Auxiliary, the USO, and Shriners Hospital for Crippled Children. He was a writer, a golfer, a boater, a beekeeper, a musician, a husband, a father, a friend, and a first-rate broadcast journalist.
We were the planets that were in his orbit, but he was the center.
Sun.
Yes, he was indeed the sun.
I thank you for coming to our event. And now it's my pleasure to introduce someone who you well know, Mr. Bob Hardy of KMOX Radio. Bob?
You know how there's a feeling in a newsroom and we all go out and we have martinis after the thing and we go, wow, that was a story about, you know how you that? Well, Bob didn't do that. Bob really liked his family. And Bob liked going home to Ray, his wife. And I don't know if he actually had a real farm or a truck farm. And I know they're the same, but different. But he really loved getting away from the city. That was important.
He loved skiing and he loved going to Park City. He ended up buying a condo out there. And I'd always remember him before he'd go skiing. You'd see him in the studio. He'd start doing some squats and doing some exercises. And he always said, well, we're going to Park City in 3 weeks. I got to get in shape. I got to go out there. And I just loved it. You know, in commercials, he'd be doing squats or doing whatever. He's just like, I got to get the legs ready. And that's what I loved about him.
He loved where we are right now, which is Park City, Utah. He and my mom bought this place out here in 1987, which was 6 years before he died. And every winter he came out and skied. Before 1987, he had not skied since he had been in high school. He absolutely loved it. So when I'm out on the slopes, I do hear his voice, and it's like, oh, I'm sure he's happy that we still have this place and we still come out here and enjoy it with our families now. And yeah, I hear his voice. Not as much as I would like to.
I hope you enjoyed this Bob Hardy retrospective. I'm Ryan Recker. Thanks for listening.
Oh, he drove a baby blue Corvette convertible with the top down, and you'd see him pulling in at 4:15, 4:30, and it was just like, wow, Here is nobody on the road, but a convertible with the top down. Here comes Bob Hardy to work. And it's just, it was like the epitome of cool, of a cool news guy showing up.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.